I wouldn't hold my breath.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I know we've got this credit squeeze, but it doesn't look like lower interest rates are coming anytime soon. Yesterday, the Federal Reserve left its key interest rate unchanged once again, and the Fed didn't even suggest a rate cut is imminent. It's more worried about inflation than weakness in the housing market. Still, the Fed has a knack for saying something to keep the stock markets from losing it. So there was some acknowledgement of the clampdown on credit and the volatility in the markets and the housing slowdown. I guess that was enough for Wall Street. Some wild swings yesterday, but in the end, the Dow gained 35 points to 13,504. The Nasdaq climbed 14. The S&P 500 put on 9 points. The Asian markets had pretty big gains today, more than 2% overall. Japan's Nikkei added 0.5%. European shares are higher in the early going. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we haven't mentioned any new private equity deals in a while. For a long time, hardly a day passed without a big buyout. Banks are really cutting back on the lending that financed so many of those deals. But curiously, Morgan Stanley has decided to start a new private equity fund in Europe. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, is here. Stephen, what is Morgan Stanley up to?
The bank is setting up a $6 billion private equity fund in Europe. The object, as with all private equity, to buy out companies around the globe. This does look pretty odd at a time when private equity deals are collapsing or being put on hold because of the turmoil in the credit market.
Well, did Morgan Stanley say why they were doing this now?
Morgan Stanley clearly feels they missed a trick. They bailed out of private equity 5 years ago, missed out on the boom, while rivals like Goldman Sachs plunged in and made a fortune. And the bank says they're determined not to miss out again.
But isn't this kind of bad timing? Okay, they missed it. Let's move on. I don't understand.
Well, Morgan Stanley dismisses concerns about bad timing. They say, actually, this could be a very good time to get in as stock markets are subsiding and the price of potential buyout targets is deflating because some of these potential targets, the prices have reached quite ridiculous prices. The bank insists that it's taking a long-term view. The co-head of the new fund uses a slightly unfortunate phrase in the circumstances. He says private equity is in remission, but it's not dead, and in the long term, it can only get bigger.
All right. Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
The Olympics are only a couple of weeks long, right? Somehow, NBC plans to cram 5 months' worth of TV into the Summer Games next year. NBC says it'll devote 3,600 hours to the Beijing Olympics on its various networks. A lot of that programming will be streamed on the internet. Today actually marks the one-year countdown to Beijing. There was a big celebration in Tiananmen Square today. The Olympics are seen as a coming-out party for China's economic progress, and the Games will also be the most lucrative ever in terms of sponsorship. Jocelyn Ford reports from Beijing.
Corporate sponsors are lavishing $1.5 billion on the Beijing Olympics. That's about triple what they spent on the Athens Games. Nick Griffith of the sports marketing company Octagon says some of the Chinese corporate sponsors are spending as much for limited domestic rights as the global companies are spending for worldwide rights.
They're not doing it for marketing reasons as much as political reasons or just an obligation to support China. It's not essential for them to see a return.
That's because some of the four dozen Chinese sponsors are state-owned companies who want political brownie points or prestige. Global companies like McDonald's and Johnson & Johnson also see the Olympics as an unprecedented opportunity to build their brand in China, but they face some risk to their international image. Human rights groups have criticized Beijing for falling short of Olympic promises to promote human rights and allow free media coverage. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
What's important in the new economy? Things like mobile phones, computer chips, internet companies. No, 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 says commentator David Frum. It's things like cows, grain, and water.
Just one word, potash. Potash is a mineral used in fertilizer. The Canadian province of Saskatchewan has the largest deposit on Earth, and the Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan mines it exclusively. The five-year stock graph for the Potash Corporation looks like some internet startup from the 1990s. In 2002, Potash Corporation stock traded around $8 a share. This year, it crossed $85 a share. World potash prices are soaring. The company's profits and stock price have reached an all-time record, and the company expects the next 5 years to be the most exciting in its history. No wonder. As Chinese and Indian consumers get richer, they want to eat more pork, chicken, and beef. Pigs, chicken, and cattle live on grain. Grain producers need fertilizer. It's not only potash prices that are up. Like most agricultural commodities, the bulky mineral moves by rail. And so, Canadian Pacific Railway shares have quadrupled since 2002. When you hear about the worldwide commodities boom, don't just think oil. Think fertilizer, wood, cocoa, the ingredients for the basic necessities and little luxuries that people start buying when their incomes rise above subsistence. Asia today is looking like Europe and America 100 years ago, and the commodity price charts of 2007 look a lot like those of a century ago. Back in the 1990s, we heard a lot about a new economy. This new economy dealt in things conceptual, abstract, weightless. A decade later, the economy is again heavy and bulky. Everything old is new again, it seems, in fashion as an investor.
David Frum is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.